Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, beginning with verse 10. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning with verse 10. The title today is Christian Communion. Christian Communion. When you have it, say amen. All right. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. That's what we've been singing about this morning. Amen. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Let us pray. Father God, we worship you this morning. Father God, we just thank you for who you are. Who you are to us, Lord. Who you are for us. Father, who you've been. Father, who you've been to us all these years. Lord, Father, we thank you that because of your Son, Lord, that we can be forgiven. Lord, that we can live under grace, Father, not under the law. Lord, we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Father, Father, we know that he is the high priest, Father, and that he's at your right hand, Lord, and that he lives to make intercession for us. So, Father, I come to you this morning. Father, I ask you to bless this time, Lord. We're here to honor you, Lord. This is about you. This is about what you've done and what you're doing and what you're going to do. So, Father, I ask you to anoint this word. Father, I pray, Father, that every person in this room would leave changed, filled with your Holy Spirit, and passionate about reaching the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. First point I have for you this morning, I want to talk to you about the fruit of Calvary. The fruit of Calvary. It says in verse 10, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. You see, those that serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. Those of you that are saved, that have asked Jesus Christ into your heart, that believe in God, that have asked him to fill you up, do you understand that you are chosen? You aren't like everybody else. You are different than everybody else. There are rights that you are given as a believer and as a citizen and as a son or daughter that other people don't have. There is access that you have into his presence and into his holy of holies that other people can't have. There are people that know about God. There are people that believe in a God, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they know him personally. Those of us that know him personally have rights. We have access into his presence that other people don't have. And isn't that good news this morning? That is good news. We know that Jesus is the high priest. We know that everything in the Old Testament points to him. But I just have a few things for you this morning. First of all, we have a better altar. A better altar. We no longer have to bring an animal to the brazen altar of the Old Testament in the temple courts. Friend, we can lay our junk. We can bring our sacrifice to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's for you this morning. If you are burdened this morning, or if you're depressed, or if you're feeling guilty about some sins that you may have committed, maybe even this weekend, if you've drifted in here this morning and you have guilt, or you don't feel like you feel inferior, you don't feel like you're worthy to praise the Lord, you don't feel like you're worthy to take part in this Lord's Supper, maybe you don't feel like that you're like everybody else, maybe there's just something that is blocking you from taking your life to the next level with the Lord Jesus Christ. I have news for you. Our altar is a better altar. In the Old Testament, they had to drag a bull or a goat into that temple court, and the high priest got to go in the Holy of Holies once a year. But friend, we have access to the Lord every day, any minute, every hour, through his Son and what he's already done for us. And that's good news, amen. That's good news. I'm not taking anything away from the sacrifice of the Old Testament. I'm not taking anything away from the Ark of the Covenant. I believe that those things have their place, amen. I believe they all were steps that led us to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that rituals are okay. Some the latest fads, you know, with the new churches and the upstarts and things, you know, I don't believe there's anything wrong with singing a hymn. I don't believe there's anything wrong with being quiet and dressing up here in a robe and taking communion. I don't think there's anything wrong with praising Jesus and worshiping and running around the room and taking communion. Amen? I believe that because of Jesus, friend, we have grace and we have a better altar. You can lay your junk at the feet of Jesus. Jesus Christ is a better altar. He's a better place to lay your stuff than what they had before. And basically what the Hebrew writer's talking about is the Judaist system. Judaism. He's talking about that way, that life. He's talking about the temple in Jerusalem. What he's saying is Jesus also suffered outside the gate. You see, the sweet offerings the priests would get to eat. Isn't that something? The people would work and they would bring the bulls and the goats and the sacrifice in there and sometimes the sweet offering, the priest would eat it. But the sin offering, they didn't eat that. The unblemished animal, they didn't eat that offering. They took the animals outside of the city because they were considered unholy and they would burn them. You say, what do you mean by that? What I'm here to tell you is that you may feel like an outsider this morning. You may feel like that you don't have access into that high court, into that temple, but friend, it's for everyone. After what Jesus did, it's for everyone. We have a better altar too. We have a better sacrifice. We have a better sacrifice. There is no comparison with Jesus Christ and an animal or a ritual. Or a feast, or a day, or a special day or observance. There's just no comparison there. We have a better sacrifice. Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of Jewish prophecy. Do you understand that? He fulfilled everything, every ritual, everything that they did in the temple courts, everything that they did, every program. Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of that. So I have good news for you if you're saved this morning. You have a better altar to lay your problems. You can lay your burdens at the feet of Jesus, but also He's a better sacrifice. You know, you don't have to sacrifice as much because He sacrificed for you. You don't have to give up a lot because He gave it all for you. That's good news this morning, amen, that Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Hallelujah. We have a better sacrifice. Next, the fruit of Calvary means that we have a better Savior. It's more than a clear conscience. Knowing Jesus is more than a clear conscience. You know, you can take a pill, you can take a Zoloft or a Xanax or a Valium, and you can feel better for a day or two. You can. You can sit down and talk with some people that are educated in psychology and that know how to speak to you and that know the process, and you can feel relief for a few hours. But to know Jesus, friend, you can feel that relief and feast on it the rest of your ever-loving life. And if you are miserable day in and day out, friend, you may not know Jesus. And you say, I don't like a pastor that tells me what I do know and if I'm saved or not. I'm not trying to make that decision, but I'm going to tell you, if you're walking around miserable, friend, I know that's not what Jesus Christ would have for you. I do believe there are people martyred for the faith. I know that. I do believe some people aren't ever going to be rich, and I believe that. But I believe there's an inner peace that you can receive only from Jesus that will stay with you, that will comfort you in your trials, that will give you strength, that will give you hope, that will outline and order your steps so that you can go from where you are to another place. Now, that other place may not be where you want to go, but it may just be where Jesus wants you to go. Amen. Give Him praise and glory this morning. Hallelujah. The fruit of Calvary, He's a better Savior. We have a better sacrifice, and there's a better altar. That altar is Jesus Christ crucified. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. Talking of the Jewish people. They don't have a right to eat it because Jesus suffered outside the camp because he was not welcomed by his own people. They did not receive him as the Messiah. They did not receive him. So he wasn't welcome, friend. But the Gentiles said, you know what? We don't understand all this, but we'll take it, amen? We'll take it. And God is doing some awesome things in Israel. We are seeing converted Jews all over this nation. God is doing a miraculous thing. And when he brings the Jew and the Christian together in the end times, friends, we're going to see a revival like we've never seen before. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see unity. There's going to be less division. Even in the denominations of America, when the Jew and the Christian comes together to fulfill the purpose for God when he returns for us. I'm telling you, I speak that prophetically. You watch and see what happens when we come together. And God is beginning to do it. If Christians, if we will pray for God, pray for Israel day in and day out and ask God to do it. You know, I'm not as crazy as some of these people. I still believe they got to be saved. You know, I mean, we see some television preachers on TV. I mean, just because they're Jewish, they can ordain and go through Passover and teach. And man, the teaching's great. But friend, if you ain't saved, you ain't getting in my church and preaching. Amen. Or oh no. But I'm telling you right now, I believe we're to honor Israel, we're to honor the Jews. But you better be saved if you're going to preach in my place. Amen. You better be saved and believe in the Holy Ghost. Because I mean, just because you're Jewish don't mean that you should be teaching Christians. You've got to accept that Messiah. Amen. Sorry, that's just the way I believe. That's just Bible for you. Amen. I mean to get off on a tangent this morning. Certain things bother me. Why don't we just spend some time on some stuff that bothers me this morning? I just feel led to go there. Some other things that bother me about today's system is a man can be married one day and divorce his wife and move his mistress in 3 days and will still be on television preaching 3 days later. I'm not making it up, friend. I can tell you his name right now. What is happening in this world? You know, we're not any better than the Jewish people of this time. We don't take his law serious. We don't take his sacrifice serious. We don't lay our stuff at his feet. What we do is go through and we act religious, and we go through the motions. We don't take his covenant real. We don't take him and accept him for what he is. A Savior and a Messiah, a King, a Holy God. We don't do it. That's what communion's all about. It's remembering what he's done for us. I pray that we remember it every day. I know that there's times and days that go by when I haven't thought about the blood or what he did for me. And I preach about it a lot. But isn't that a shame? The very breath that we have comes from the Lord Jesus. And we fail to think about his sacrifice for us. Pastors and leaders fail to think about it enough to even admit when they're wrong, to even admit failure, to even strive for holiness. It's a sad day we live in. Next, some facts about Calvary. Some facts about Calvary. Verse 11, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. They can wail on a wall, friend. They can observe Passover, but we seek the one to come. We know what he's already done for us, amen. We believe, we stand on the Word of God, the Bible, and we know that even though he was different and he didn't fit into the Jewish system, friend, that he saves and that he loves and that he forgives and that he speaks and moves through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I don't know if I would be alive if it wasn't for Jesus. And I just want to worship Him. I don't know if it wasn't for the shed blood and grace of Jesus Christ, if I would have anything. Everything that I have, it's Him. Every good thing I've done, it's Him. Everything, people tell me all the time, well, you know, Ronnie, we're so proud, and you know, they speak encouragement, and I think we need to do that. But truthfully, when you live a crucified life, the good stuff about me, give Jesus the credit. The bad stuff about me, give Ronnie the credit. That's what I say. Isn't that what we should be? We carry our cross and we follow Jesus. We shouldn't boast in our own ability, friend. We should die to it and say, Lord, raise it up. Lord, I'm dead. Raise this dead man to do Your will and to do Your work. That's what the writer to the Hebrew people, he knew that. He knew that they were going to die. He knew that they were going to get burned. He knew that people were going to murder them and to say things about them and to try to infiltrate them. He knew they had to be strong. Read Hebrews 12. He knew that they had to be strong. He knew that they had to be fearless in the fight. He knew that they had to have endurance. He knew it. And so He says, Jesus Christ is the blood, He's the bread, He's the body. He died for you. But also, His own people rejected Him. He was cast away and aside. But friend, I don't know about you, but have you ever felt cast away or aside? Have you ever felt like you don't fit in? Have you ever felt like you're not good enough? Have you ever felt like that you're not worthy to be in or around certain people? Ooh. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that way by a parent? You're not good enough. You don't measure up. You're not part of our group. Every time we feel like that way, you know what we ought to do? We ought to say, Lord Jesus, I'm like You. Because You didn't fit into anyone's religious system. You didn't fit into anyone's social club. You were different. You had sinners that loved You. You had men that loved You, women that loved You, different races praying to You. Nobody could pinpoint You. Nobody had a monopoly on You, Lord Jesus. You were different. And You were cast aside. When you're cast aside and you feel like you don't fit in, you're identifying with Christ. You're identifying with Christ. Jesus was an outsider. He was an outsider. He was different. He was different, friend. He was different than what religion had to offer. He was different than the sacrifice. Now let me make this clear, though. Jesus Christ, while He was a rebel, He was also one that was obedient to His culture. He was also one that went to church. He was also one that went through the things and learned what He was supposed to learn. But friend, He was the Son of God, and he had something He had to do. Amen? There was no stopping what God's ultimate plan was. But it's interesting, if you track back through Jesus' life, you see that He wasn't someone that was always stirring up trouble. He stirred up some trouble, but it wasn't intentionally. Amen? He was very respectful of the system. But there came a time when He had to fulfill His Father's wishes. There comes a time, friend, in your life where you have to obey the Father. You've loved, you've served, but now it's time to move on. It's time to take that next step. Why don't you do that this morning? Why don't you take that next step in Him? Jesus was an outsider in life. We know that He was at all points tempted but without sin. We know that tax collectors loved Him. We know that He picked some disciples and He believed in them. He spoke faith into them. He spoke blessing. He picked a cusser and a fighter. He picked a tax cheat. He picked people that didn't measure up. Amen. That's what I love about Jesus. When someone says, you a no good sinner, you a dirty dog, you ain't never going to amount to nothing, I'll be like, well, I'm perfect for Jesus. Amen. When nobody thinks you can do it, you are perfect for Jesus. If you feel inferior, you're who Jesus is looking at. He's not looking at the one who knows it all. He's not looking at the one who's got it all figured out. He's not looking at the one who was born with money and that doesn't have to work or suffer. He's looking for someone who says, I don't have nothing. I don't have no knowledge. I don't know where I'm going to go. And Jesus said, I can work with that. I can work with that. You say, I don't have nothing. He can work with that. If you've got something, he can't work with that because you're in the way. If you're an empty vessel, he can fill it. But if you're already full, he ain't going to fill you. Amen. Jesus Christ can work with you if you're broken and you don't have an agenda. Jesus Christ can work with that. He was an outsider in life. Oh, but he was an outsider in death. He was an outsider when he died. Oh, he was mocked and made fun of. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when we honor him by the blood and the bread in just a few moments, I mean, you think about it. This wasn't just some perfect picture of our sins being nailed up on a rainbow cross, friend. This was a bad situation. This was they put a crown of thorns on his head and he was bleeding. This wasn't a beautiful thing that the churches we celebrate. You know what this was? This was murder. Murder. He knew he was king. He knew they weren't accepting. They spit on him. Nailed that sign up, said King of the Jews to mock him. Little did they know, friend, he was going to get up and reign forever as not just King of the Jews, but King of kings and King of all people and of all mankind. Hallelujah. He was an outsider in life. He was an outsider in death. He was an outsider in death. I wonder if those people that were there that didn't do anything about it, that saw Jesus and saw all that he was giving up. I wonder what the people, if you could ask them today, what they would say 2,000 plus years later. We're having church here. They're having church down the road. They're having church a few blocks from here on the other side of Memorial Drive. They're having church in Alpharetta and Marietta. They're having church in Chattanooga and Rome, Georgia, and Fort Oglethorpe, friend. They're having church in Montgomery, Alabama. They're having church in Texas. They're having church all over the place right now this morning. And you know what they're talking about? They're not talking about a bunch of people that killed Jesus. They're not talking about it in class as some history lesson. They're talking about a man who got up 3 days later and who commissioned his disciples and who built the greatest thing ever made. He built the greatest thing, the Church of Jesus Christ. It lives and it breathes and it stands. And no weapon formed against it shall prosper. The churches can argue with each other. They can disagree. There can be division with denominations. But friend, the bread and the wine is still being passed. The blood is represented. The body is represented all over the face of this country. And friends, there are people in tents this morning in Wei Wei Chenango, Guatemala. There are people in the Gambia. There are people overseas. And guess what? They may have to sneak around. There's people in basements in China. And you know what they're doing this morning? They're saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And they're praising God for the forgiveness of their sins. There are people all over this world, and they're praising Jesus Christ. And we in America, we need to thank God that we live in a great country. But friend, we need to get over ourselves, and we need to understand that it's a privilege to be able to walk into church on Sunday morning and praise Jesus without worrying about getting murdered when you walk out. We can come in here, and we can worship Him, and we can take of the blood and of the bread with freedom this morning that other people don't have, that people died for, so that we could do this. He was an outsider in life and an outsider in death. Jesus was a person. Number three, talks about the fruit of Calvary and some facts of Calvary. But number three, he was a person of combination. A person of combination. The great thing, another awesome thing about Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do my best here to apply this to your life. But we talked about the two kinds of offerings. The burnt meal offerings were eaten by the priest. They were sweet offerings because no sin was represented. Okay, the sin offering was unblemished animals. And see, God doesn't view sin as sweet or pleasurable. Are you with me? There are two kinds of offerings represented. Some only the priests could eat of, and we've talked about that. This isn't just for a select group. Jesus is for everybody. But some, everybody could participate in the offering. But Jesus Christ represents not only the sin offering, but the sweet savor offering. Jesus Christ, yes, he's forgiven your sins. You're forgiven. Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection, it represents your sins being forgiven. But also, and what many people miss out on, is Jesus is nothing more than a figurine. When things go bad, times get rough, things go bad, Jesus Christ is someone they just pull out, like Buddha. Help me. I've had you on a shelf all this time, but let's talk. I need some help. That's the way people treat Jesus Christ. What I believe gets people through, what I believe helps people and pulls people along to the throne of grace is a spiritual walk, a spiritual relationship with God. This more than just a Bible study. It's more than just even attending church. It's a one-on-one relationship, friend. It's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit, as Paul talks about. It is a one-on-one with God. And your one-on-one may be a little different than my one-on-one, but the main thing is that you have a one-on-one. I don't care if you get alone with God and you speak in tongues and you do cartwheels. If that's how you get down with Jesus and it gives you strength, get down with Jesus, amen. But if you just want to read your word, drink a cup of coffee, and say, worthy is the Lamb, then get down with Jesus that way. I don't care what you do as long as you're getting down with Jesus, amen. Get down with Jesus. Get close to Him. Let Him speak to you and talk through you because He is worthy, amen. But the sweet savor offering is your relationship. It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The sweet savor offering is knowing of God and tasting it and enjoying what you've tasted. I mean, it's knowing Jesus and you, man, I love Jesus. Man, I just can't wait to talk to Jesus. Man, I just can't wait to read about Him. I can't wait to go to church. Man, I can't wait to help Yvette organize something. I can't wait to give out a backpack. I can't wait to go tell somebody about Jesus. I can't wait to get in the prayer tent and lay hands on somebody. Man, I can't wait to give my tithe. Man, I can't wait. I got paid a little bit. I got my 10%. I can't wait to see how God's going to multiply this. I mean, it's knowing of Jesus, and the sweet savor offering is, man, I'm going to give a sacrifice. I'm going to give up something, and I'm going to enjoy Jesus while I'm doing it. I mean, you can be under condemnation with your sin and you can struggle through life and oop, I sin. Oh, just Lord, forgive me. I'm so terrible. Oh. And you can, that if that's your thing, that's you go ahead. But I do believe that there's a Jesus that you can enjoy, amen. And His name is Jesus Christ. Enjoy Him. Enjoy His Spirit. He is good. He is good and merciful. He loves you. He loves you. He'll never leave you. That's the sweet savor offering and the sin offering. Jesus combines the two different kinds of offerings. Jesus combined them. He says, you enjoy me. Your burden for your sins, you can be forgiven, but you can also enjoy me. And I enjoy you. He enjoys you whether you enjoy Him or not. You may not enjoy church. You may not enjoy my preaching. You may not enjoy the worship. I don't care. Just enjoy Jesus. Just enjoy Jesus. Enjoy Him. And I promise you, one day with Jesus is better than 1,000 without Him. Place of communion. Hebrews 13:13. Therefore, let us go forth to Him. You know, no longer do you have to make your way to the temple, amen, at Jerusalem. It says, therefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to Him. Go to Him. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? You are the temple now. You don't have to travel to Jerusalem today to have communion. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You can commune with God anytime you want to. Isn't that good? The temple was inside the camp. Jesus crucified on a hill called Shame outside the camp. Many of you came to know Jesus outside the camp. You didn't truly come to know Him in some religious system. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but when you got close to Him, many of you had happened outside the camp. It did for me. I was raised in church 3 or 4 times a week. So much, I hated church, amen. And then one day I found out on the tile floor of my bathroom around midnight that it didn't matter about any of all that stuff, that I could commune with Jesus in my house at midnight. I didn't look right, friend. I didn't smell right. I probably wasn't even acting right. But you know what? Jesus was ready to spend time with me anyways at midnight. And if you want to spend time with Jesus and want to come to know Him today, and you'd like to spend the rest of your life enjoying and feasting on the sweet savor offering of Jesus on this in this world, you can do that. But also you'll spend an eternity in heaven with Him. If you'd like to do that this morning, I invite you to. I want to pray a prayer in just a moment for anyone that doesn't know Jesus, that doesn't know beyond a shadow of a doubt where they'd spend eternity. Because I want you to be a part of this communion. You see, one thing I did like about the way I was raised, in the church I was raised in, I mean, if you weren't saved, you just didn't partake in the communion. That's one thing I agree about my Baptist heritage. Because as a young child, that taught me, I saw the bread and the wine and thought, man, that'd be cool to take that. Even for the wrong reasons, a child looks at that, why can't I have it? Well, until you come to know that Jesus died for you and that His blood was shed for your sins, until you come to really know Jesus, you can't take of this. And then when I got to the age of accountability, I thought, I'm lost. I need Jesus. Maybe to you today, you say, I don't know if I should take communion or not. If you don't know Jesus, friend, I want you to know Him this morning so that you can take of the blood and the bread with us. But I want to talk to you and close with a perspective. Hebrews 13:14 says, we look to the one that's to come. Number four was the place of communion. Number five, the perspective of communion. There is no temple in the New Testament. Christ is the temple, and our focus should be upward. It should be on the one. There is no continuing city. Our continuing city is Jesus Christ. It's heaven. It's the eternal. It's that dimension that we can't see, that we can't even understand with our earthly minds. That's what's to come. That's the way, as a Christian, our perspective towards the Lord and towards Jesus and towards should be heavenly. It should be on that dimension. It should not be on all the junk. See, a Christian shouldn't be so consumed with the junk that goes on down here that they can't look up and say, Lord, I know that this doesn't make sense. Lord, I know that I may have failed at a few things, but Lord, I know that one day I'll have a new body. Lord, one day I'll spend an eternity with You. I'll see my lost loved ones, Lord. I know there'll be no sickness. I know there'll be no time. I know that I won't be away from the people that I love down here. See, that's the big misconception. People think they die, then somebody goes to heaven, and they're just sitting there waiting for you to die and get there. No, friend, there's no time there. So if you lost your spouse or you lost your husband and they're in heaven, then guess what? It may be 10 years. I think of my sweet grandmother who my grandfather died so early. And she waited 14 years. She loved him. And before she died, she saw a glimpse of him. But the thing is, my grandfather wasn't up there waiting 14 years to see his bride. Friend, when they met, it was like instant. It was like they'd never miss time. If you don't know Jesus, friend, I want it for you this morning. I want, when you die, I want you to have and take part in that continuing city. I want you to know that you can spend an eternity in heaven with the Lord, and that if you'll tell your family and friends about Jesus, that you'll spend an eternity together because of the blood and His body. Bow your head and close your eyes all over this room.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info, I-N-F-O, @truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.